Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports King Show here on iHeartRadio. I am your host, Mean Gene, the Sports Machine. It is a Friday, October 21st, 2022, and we are broadcasting from our brand new Virgin Live Studios inside the Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. The show is brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, as well as Captain, changing mobility for good. So I'm going to introduce my guest, who made the long journey from the state of Texas to be here. Patrick Creighton, ESPN 97.5, Houston, Texas. He is the host of the show Late Hits. And Patrick, I tell you what, Patrick has this no-barred style of sports talk that the people in Houston love. And you guys are going to meet him now because, he did the Mean Gene show with us on KDWN. So we just figured we got him here for the entire weekend. Yes, we are holding him hostage here in Las Vegas for the next 72 hours. And he's also here for the big game between the Texans and the Raiders. Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Mean Woo Gene.
Welcome.
Dude, this place is awesome. Why you didn't tell me you had this hookup, bro? We could have been out here like five times.
Well, hey, that kind of be
Why
secretive about
it.
Me? You know, I can't tell everybody, Patrick.
Oh, man, dude, this is what an amazing place. Now, it's the first time I've been at the Virgin Hotel, and we got in real late because my flight was supposed to leave at 11:20, left at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So we got in real late. Gene and Wayne, they both meet me down here. Both these guys, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I'm looking at them like, y'all don't sleep. What's wrong with you? They come in, they meet me, they get me set up, they put me up in this room, right? This is the nicest room I've ever stayed at in my entire life. I walked in, I'm like, bruh, I could live here. This place is sweet.
Yes.
How long can I stay? This place is amazing. And they got so much going on. It's a beautiful property. Dude, thank you so much for having me. This is awesome. You're bringing me out here more often, bro.
Hey, we got you. Thanks for being part of the Sports King show today. We also have the original Sports King. This guy been working with me for over 20 years, and it's always a pleasure to have him. He covers the Raiders, and, of course, he covers the Lakers and the Dodgers, and occasionally. And I'll tell you what made this guy famous is when he picked a fight with Steve Lavin, the head coach. Back at the time, it was the head coach of the UCLA Bruins, and that press conference I would never forget. You actually really pissed him off. Please welcome to the show, Wayne Brown.
Well, let me correct you on one thing, Mean Gene.
Yeah.
You are a hostage when you are being held against your will.
You're right about that, huh?
Please, no. Don't bring me to Vegas. No.
Yeah, because
don't bring me all this food.
I was very gentle with him when it came to, like, Patrick, you ever been to Vegas? You know, because some people don't really feel Vegas. I wasn't sure how he was going to accept my invitation.
How many parties are going on tonight? No, not the party. Oh, no.
So, guys, hey, this is the Sports King show.
By the way, real quick, Gene.
Yes.
If my man here, the Dark Knight, was getting into a fight with Steve Lavin, yeah, my money on him.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, he won that fight because Lavin eventually got fired because not only was Wayne badgering him and beating him up in that press conference, that continued on throughout Steve Lavin's career.
Steve Lavin, lucky he needed two pieces of a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, guys, like I said, we're here at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, as we are every other weekend. We come to the city. We do our show here at the Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. The staff is wonderful, as always. And Christina, who is always very close by, she's here. You know, she was on the show last Sports King show. You and her had a little disagreement with our picks that we're going to get into tomorrow. Well, I know you won't be here tomorrow, but we do our picks tomorrow for the NFL Countdown show. But today, guys, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit about some of these divisions. And I know I had some notes here that when I look at the NFL standings, the NFC West, the AFC South, NFC South, and AFC North, through 6 weeks of football, these divisions are all up for grabs. You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, the undefeated Eagles from the NFC East, and then, of course, the Buffalo Bills, they seem to be taking over the AFC East, but everything else seems to be up for grabs.
Let me ask you, which division to you is the most surprising that it has not had somebody separate itself yet. Because the NFC West hasn't really had a team separate yet, and they have a couple of teams that were supposed to be really good. And after the big trade that went down last night, maybe that shakes up. The AFC West was supposed to have maybe three playoff teams. Half of those teams look like, I'm sorry, sir, what is a football? I do not quite know what this is. The AFC South is a train wreck.
Yeah.
The AFC North, I think the Bengals have gotten off to a slower start. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have been very inconsistent. The Steelers, look, I'm sorry.
Be careful.
They're not that good. That doesn't mean they're going to be down for long, because historically the Steelers are never down for long.
Yeah.
But right now, they're just not that good.
Yeah.
And the Cleveland Browns, who are supposed to have a badass defense, when we get to the post game and they gave up about 300 or 400 yards, it's like, well, you see, what happened was, they got no answers. Even with Jacoby Brissett, that team should be better than what they are with that running game. There's a lot of questions. It's been a weird year. There's been a lot of upsets.
Yeah.
Teams that aren't supposed to be good, like my Giants, teams that aren't supposed to be good are winning. The Jets. Jets.
Hello.
Look, it's one thing the Giants beat the Packers in London in a close game. The Jets stomped a mud hole in them at Lambeau.
Yes.
What did this become the 60s? When did that time warp?
Yes.
This is not supposed to happen. And like the Lions look competent.
Yeah.
There are teams that are not supposed to be any good. Well, they're decent. And there are teams supposed to be real good that haven't found third gear yet. It's been a very strange start to the NFL season. At some point, you figure, you know, the cream will start to separate.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals will start to separate.
Okay.
There's a lot of divisions out there that, man, it's a big old mess.
It is. Wayne, what to follow up on what Patrick said, which division?
Yeah, you know, one thing he did not mention, he did mention the Giants in that, but the NFC least. I mean, that division, they're playing some fairly decent ball. They had the weakest strength of schedule, but when you look at Philadelphia, they're coming around. I think they can compete with just about anybody in the NFL. And then the Cowboys, I think they're getting ready to take a step backwards when Dak come back, because now they're going to open that offense back up and they're going to become the Cowboys again. If they'd have just leave it simple for Cooper, like they did for Cooper Rush,
yeah.
I think that they would be a more competent team, because that defense can keep them in games. But when you have Dak Prescott and that open offense, that three and out, all of a sudden that takes away from your defense, and they're going to become the Cowboys again. And
hold on. You are not sitting next to me telling me that you think Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
No.
You are not telling me that and not passing me whatever drugs you're on, because those hallucinogens are good.
Absolutely not. What I'm telling you is he's better at a simplified offense. That's what they did. I mean, he only passed for 100 yards. And they're
that's
winning
why
games.
They lost.
A managed.
They've been winning games behind that 100 yards. What I'm saying is they're getting ready to open it back up for Dak Prescott, and all of a sudden you're going to go back to the Cowboys.
They need to open the offense up, because you know what? As much grief as Zeke Elliott takes, oh, he's washed up, he's a bum, he looked pretty good last week. Tony Pollard's a very good back. But teams are going to pack the box if you can't throw the ball. They got CeeDee Lamb. They got Michael Gallup back.
Yeah.
You know, you got Brown coming in now looking good, even though, you know, Jerry don't know his name.
Yeah.
This is a team that should be able to open up the offense. Their left tackle, their rookie left tackle, has been a lot better than people thought he was going to
be.
When Dak Prescott comes back, the Cowboys become a legitimate team again. The Eagles, they go and get themselves a real wide receiver to go part along with their star rookie from last year. Jalen Hurts, everybody been dogging Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. All that man ever does is win. He won in Alabama. He won in Oklahoma. Now he winning in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Put some respect on that man's name.
Right. I know, exactly.
The Giants, they don't stink. The only team that stinks is the Commies. Now, it is kind of hilarious. You got a team in Washington that wears all red.
Yeah.
They call it the Commies. Mm-hmm. But They stink.
Yeah.
They don't have a quarterback. You know, it's funny watching, you know, Ron Rivera say, well, what's between everybody else and you? Quarterback. Like, that bus came 95 miles an hour and it hit and left the license plate right on the back of Carson Wentz's head. So the NFC East has actually been better than people thought this year.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm telling you is when the Cowboys start losing – all of a sudden, they're going to think it's a controversy.
But see, wait a minute. I can kind of.
They have to put a small wager on this.
Well, look, I can kind of. Wait a minute. I can see a little bit about what Wayne is talking about because here's the thing. Yeah, Cooper Rush filled in good for Dak Prescott, 4-1. But here's the setup. And you know, Patrick, living in Texas, and Cowboys are always about drama. I can see the Detroit Lions. And I know we're going to make our picks tomorrow on what's going to happen. But look, it would not surprise me that the Detroit Lions beat the Cowboys and Jerry Jones puts Cooper Rush back in, depending on how they lose, because it's just the setup is too perfect.
You're not putting that much money on the bench.
No.
Let me tell you this.
Oh, I know.
People
I know what
might
you're saying.
Think Jerry Jones not a good general manager. I will tell you that on my bucket list, even though I'm not a Cowboys fan, I'm a Giants fan.
Exactly.
So the Cowboys could go 0-17. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. On my bucket list, I want to go for a ride in the Jerry bus because we all know there's stuff goes on in that bus.
Oh, I know.
Now, I don't know exactly what goes on in that bus, and I don't intend on participating, but I want to watch. I want to see. Did you remember the show Blue Mountain State?
No.
Okay, so there's a show on Blue Mountain State. Used to run on, I think, what was called Spike TV back then.
I remember Spike TV.
Okay. And this show was hilarious. And one of the main characters, a guy named Thad Castle, he's a linebacker, and he's just completely out of his mind. And they do this whole thing where they set him up, because Thad's thinking about leaving school early and going pro.
Okay.
So they set him up, boat party, girls, blow, and then they get him arrested. And it's like, oh, my gosh, my world. All right, look, we're going to get you. We're going to take care of you. And then it's like to get him to stay at the school for another year.
Okay.
But there's one part, he sits in front of this giant pile of blow. I love cocaine! And he slams his face into it. And I know that happens on Jerry's bus, and I want to watch.
Well, hey, look here. If we can only get Michael Irvin to just really confess, because, yeah, I agree with you. But
look,
you know
the
what?
The playmaker knows what goes on.
Yeah, the playmaker knows what's going on.
And he got some of the best stories you ever
yes.
I love when Michael Irvin tells stories.
Indeed.
That tour bus, that is on the bucket list.
So, okay, now, and I want to go back to your original question, you know, which one of the divisions I think is the toughest. I'm going to say the NFC West, because not only do you have the 49ers, 3-3, the Rams, 3-3, the Seahawks, 3-3, and just one game out of first place is the Arizona Cardinals. So that's going to be right now the toughest division. And I know we had said earlier in our discussions that, you know, the 49ers are probably going to take that division. But the story that I'm going to be chasing is the Seattle Seahawks story, because you get rid of Russell Wilson. Pete Carroll and that organization knew something. They knew Russell Wilson's better days were behind him. So they get this unbelievable trade. They shake him off to Denver. Denver mistakenly spends $200-something million. But Geno Smith, and this is what I like about the NFL, I like the opportunities. I like the fact that a quarterback that, you know, he would spend some time in New York, Geno Smith, a quarterback that was written off, now is competitive and has his team in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC West.
Man, you remember Geno Smith playing in college with West Virginia, throwing bombs 500 yards a game?
Yeah, oh, I remember
that. And people was like, oh, he's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be a first-round pick, but he falls to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to a Jets team that back then was highly dysfunctional.
Exactly.
And, look, if you want to be a quarterback and have your career ruined, you went to the Jets. And you remember he gets in this little disagreement with his defensive player,
yeah,
like, hey, Kapali.
Yeah.
And M. Kapali busts him in the mouth, yeah, breaks his jaw.
Yeah, I remember that.
Geno never really showed at the NFL level. Then he was the guy with the Giants who broke Eli Manning's consecutive game streak. They decided, oh, we're going to sit Eli. We're going to play Geno Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That went over about as well as you thought it went over. Mm-hmm. And the next week, Eli was back in there. And at the end of the year, the head coach of the Jam were fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Geno has resurrected his career in Seattle, where there was no pressure on him, there were no expectations, and he's playing the best football of his career. And the shame of it is The Seahawks can't play defense to save their lives.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop Katy High School from running the football. I mean, they just get run over by everybody.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the 49ers trade for Christian McCaffrey. And actually, you know what? Let me rephrase that. The 49ers went to Carolina and stole
him.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, absolutely
and
right.
And now put him on maybe the most complete team in that division. They're not going to be able to beat the 49ers because they're going to run all over them. The Rams, they're trying to figure things out. Cam Akers wants out. You know, they're happy to accommodate him. The Rams are in the market for a running back. You know they're going to get one. They're not going to beat the Rams. The Arizona Cardinals, when James Conner is healthy, he's a very good back. But usually what happens with the Cardinals is they start hot and then they fade.
Yeah.
Usually that's because they start hot, DeAndre Hopkins gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then they fall apart. Well, DeAndre Hopkins missed the first six games of the season. They start 2-4. Hopkins come back, 100 yards receiving, you know, guaranteed, like clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, wow, look, the Arizona Cardinals have an offense because DeAndre Hopkins, you say what you want about anybody else, DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the league.
Oh, no doubt.
He doesn't have the most speed. But nobody has a bigger wingspan. Nobody has a bigger catch radius.
Could catch
they say
anything.
He gets 50-50 balls. No, he gets 10-90 balls, meaning he's got a 10% chance. The defense has a 90% chance, and he comes down with that ball 90% of the
That's
time.
True.
He is the single biggest difference maker at that position because he is uncoverable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Texans gave him away for a ham sandwich, by the way. He is uncoverable. And when he is in that offense, Kyler Murray goes from bum to MVP candidate. Every single time, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. That division is suddenly going to get a lot more difficult. Seahawks get off to a nice start. It's going to fade because they can't play D.
Okay.
Yep, and the shame of it is Geno Smith is to Pete Carroll what Cooper Rush is to the Cowboys. All Pete Carroll asks Geno Smith is, don't turn it over. Give our defense a chance. Mm-hmm. And as Patrick is saying, right now their defense is not holding up. So Pete Carroll, you know, what he envisioned is not happening. Until they turn that defense around, they're not going to be competitive. This year, there's only going to be one team that's going to come out of that division. That's going to be the 49ers.
You think just one team coming out of that division?
Yeah, it's not. It's going to be 49ers followed by the Cardinals. Rams are not, they're not playing good ball. And I don't know if they're going to turn it around. They may turn it around because they have the players.
They got one tough schedule being the Super Bowl champions.
That's their thing. They're the Super Bowl champions, and they just think teams are supposed to lay down. Teams are not laying down for them. They're coming after them. And when the Rams are down, McVay is like a deer in headlights.
Patrick, are we seeing with the Rams that what we saw with the Atlanta Falcons that one year? You know, the Atlanta Falcons, who can forget that Super Bowl in Houston, Texas, where they were up 28-3 over the New England Patriots. Should have won that Super Bowl, but losing that Super Bowl to Tom Brady and the Falcons were never the same. Are we seeing that with the Rams?
Usually you can't have a devastating Super Bowl loss and recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many teams get the snot kicked out of them in the Super Bowl and stay relevant? 90s Bills? They're like the only one that you
the
can
only
think
ones,
of.
Yeah.
All right, they got their butts whooped by Washington.
Yeah. Then
they
the
got
Cowboys.
Their butt whooped by Dallas.
Yeah.
They got their butt whooped by Dallas again.
Right.
They're the only team that got whooped and then kept going back.
Yeah.
Usually when you get whooped, you usually have that big fall off. And that's kind of what's happening in Atlanta. They got old kind of quickly, and they're a little surprising right now. They're 3-3. But again, it's not gonna hold up. The Buccaneers, as they get healthier, and as Tom Brady stops going to weddings and maybe doing the Masked Singer or whatever else, you know, Tom Brady gets over the fact that his wife is leaving him because he decided he'd rather play football and stay home with her. Quick question. If you were married to one of the biggest supermodels in the history of the world and you were already stupid rich,
right?
Do you need to go out and prove yourself, or are you staying home with your supermodel wife? Because I got to tell you, for me, it's not a hard decision.
Yeah, no.
I'm living my life in luxury with my supermodel wife, and you know everybody else can go the way of the dodo.
And she supported you throughout your your career. Yeah.
That is the one person in the world You're not trying to tick off.
Yeah. Go ahead, Wayne.
I don't believe he know how to love. Nothing but football.
Okay.
And that's why he's dedicating his everything to football. So now you take away football from that, he take his family on a vacation, probably don't know how to even communicate. I'm wondering what's going on behind closed doors, because there is no way that you give up that supermodel
I agree.
I mean, you've already had your illustrious career. There's nothing else for you to do, end, or prove.
If she's not Tyra Banks crazy, yeah, you don't give that up.
Yeah, yeah, you, yeah, absolutely. I know. And look, and that's one
even
reason
if
why.
She is, you know, maybe it's a decision.
going to that NFC South, because Patrick, I think the Falcons might be the surprise, only because of the distractions the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might continue to have in this season. And who saw the Atlanta Falcons? Who saw Marcus Mariota coming in there, taking advantage? Here's another guy taking advantage of another opportunity and got this team tied for second place in the NFC South.
Mariota was always a quarterback who was in the wrong system, mm-hmm, Tennessee. He has skills. He is athletic. He can throw it. He can obviously escape the pocket. And right now, because the Falcons, look, they're not a good team. They don't have a lot of great impact players. They're kind of letting him freewheel. Mm-hmm. They're trying to build the offense to his strengths. It's one of the great things about the NFL that always makes you scratch your head. The idea of system versus talent.
Yeah, yeah.
How many coaches try to force players who have skill sets that don't fit their systems into a specific box versus how many coaches adapt their system to the strengths of their player? Mm-hmm. You see what the adaptation is in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They've adapted the offense Jalen Hurts.
Thank you.
And they're flying.
Yes.
We see in Tennessee, they tried to force Mariota into a system. It didn't fit him.
That's true.
It didn't work. Now he's getting another chance, and I'm glad he's having some success. I never had anything against Marcus Mariota. I don't root for players to fail. I always want to see players be successful. But their defense isn't going to hold up. And if they have any kind of injuries, they don't have the depth to withstand injuries. So don't think Atlanta is going to be able to hold up. I think New Orleans is what they are. I don't think it matters if it's Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton or Taysom Hill. They don't have a quarterback. And as good as their defense might be, they don't seem as committed. Alvin Kamara is just not as good as he used to be. Plus, he's got some other issues. I mean, the Saints they're just not as good as they used to be. They give up way too many points. They're not as good as they were. And look, Carolina's just
goodness.
And they just traded Christian McCaffrey and didn't even get a first.
David Tepper's going to have a meltdown.
Think about this. But somehow or other, the NFC West keeps stealing talent. The Arizona Cardinals stole DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm, and were able to offload a washed-up player's $11 million salary in that deal as well. Mm-hmm. At least the Panthers did not take a washed-up player's eight-figure salary. They got a 2, a 3, and a 4. Like, I'm not going to say fire sale, because a fire sale would have carried a higher price tag. Mm. This was like a garage sale. Here, you know what? Everybody's dead. Just take it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I look at that. I think that owner, and we talked about him earlier too, that this, of course, he had to buy in on this, you know, getting rid of McCaffrey. But I don't know. I thought maybe with the Baker Mayfield, maybe they are just rebuilding, because the Panthers had high hopes. I wish we had Dustin Pfeiffer. I think we have Dustin on the show tomorrow. He covers the Panthers and the Hornets out there in Charlotte. But it looks like they are rebuilding.
He's becoming the Anthony Davis of the Panthers. I mean, he's always in the street clothes.
Baker?
And that's the way that – no, I'm sorry, not Baker, but McCaffrey.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, he was injured every year. I mean, until – that's why the fans were just giving up on him, because of his injury. So he was becoming the street clothes McCaffrey, always in his street clothes. So now that he's getting a new start, you know, hopefully, you know, he can fill in for it.
Seems like they was waiting for him to get healthy, because they've been wanting to do this trade, it seems like.
Exactly. They've been waiting for him to get healthy.
Patrick.
Now he's semi-healthy, and now they traded him and trying to get something for him. But like you said, they really didn't get anything for him, but they were just happy to get rid of him. Because,
well, the 49ers just keep – the rich keep getting richer, as they say.
Yeah. Gene, let's be fair about something. Once upon a time, Baker Mayfield was the best quarterback in college football. Mm-hmm. He was the number one overall pick. Right now, today, of all 32 starters, he's the worst.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
I know.
He is the worst. And you remember when he was in Cleveland, mm-hmm. and the talk was about, well, why can't he get the ball to Odell Beckham Jr.? Everybody can get the ball to Odell.
Yeah.
That dude is 7'11". He's always open.
Right.
How could you not get the ball?
Exactly.
And what we learned was he can't make the throws.
Yeah.
He can't throw a deep out. He can't throw that ball to the sideline. He just can't do it. And you see him, and here he is in county, and he doesn't, you know, Robbie Anderson's like, get me out of here.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't make the throws. He looks awful. Right now, the best – I mean, if we think about Baker Mayfield's career, what are we thinking about most? He got tased by the cops.
Mm-hmm.
He was allegedly in the back of an Applebee's in his car doing stuff he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We don't do nothing on the field.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the field.
Yeah.
The decision to go get Baker Mayfield has turned out to be disaster
for
the Carolina Panthers. The decision to get Sam Darnold turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers, they need a real quarterback.
And which they probably will be trying to play for now with these trades here. It looks like they are definitely trying to get the number one draft pick. So let's talk about another quarterback who's in the AFC North who decided that, you know, I just really don't want to hire an agent. I think I can just kind of do this on my own. I think I can demand and get the quarterback money that's out there. And the Baltimore Ravens are right now, they're in last place, believe it or not. I mean, they're 3-3. So how is this going to work out for Lamar Jackson? And should he hire an agent?
Should he hire an agent? Yes. But if he doesn't hire an agent, it's really not the worst thing in the world for him in this regard. When you're a star quarterback, you're going to get yours one way or the other. Baltimore Ravens are playing a very dangerous game with Lamar Jackson because he is their whole team. If you take Lamar Jackson out of that team, they might win two games. And I mean might. He is everything. The entire rushing offense is based on the RPO and the threat of Lamar Jackson. Everything that he gets in the passing game is a dang miracle because, once again, they don't have any receivers. For some reason, Baltimore is receiver averse. They don't think receiver is a position they should actually invest in. He is the team. They lose him, they're the bottom of the barrel. Not in the division, in the league. That man deserves his money. And the longer they tool around with how long, they're going to find themselves in one of those Kirk Cousins situations where, all right, we're going to hit you with the franchise tag because we don't want to pay you.
Exactly.
Well, the rate that quarterback salaries are going up.
I know.
That franchise tag is going to get to be $40 million, which means the second year it's going to be $50 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to pay $50 million. He's going to go on the market, and he's going to leave, and they're going to stink. Just because he doesn't have an agent doesn't mean you should be screwing around.
That's true.
They better get it right.
Yeah, and I was shocked that they didn't get it right before the season started, Wayne.
Yeah, you know me and Gene, we talked about this before. And they played that card before with Joe Flacco in that loss. They ended up paying Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing that card again. It's a dangerous game. And I think, as Patrick was saying, without him, they really would not be anything. They wouldn't be competitive at all. So he's giving them that competitive chance. I mean, they're at the bottom of the barrel right now.
Yeah.
But they can pick that up and be at the top.
True, true.
I mean, they've been in positions. Who give up 21 points in the fourth quarter? They were up 21 points in the fourth quarter, mainly because of the offense and what they had done. And then they get to the fourth quarter, defense. And they did that two or three games in a row. And you know, he's putting them in position.
They didn't see the Giants coming.
Exactly. Yeah. He's putting them in position to win. And
that's true.
They're just not winning.
So, guys, I got three matchups that I want to talk about that's going to be coming up here in week 7. And there's a reason why I picked these matchups, because whoever wins these games are going to put themselves in a position to probably, you know, just separate themselves from the other teams in the division. So let's look at this matchup, Atlanta at Cincinnati. And we just talked about Mariota and what he's doing in Atlanta, and they are competitive right there in that NFC South. And then we're going to let the Bengals, who are, you know, coming off a Super Bowl hangover as well. started 0-2. Now they are thriving a little bit. So, Patrick, what do you think about this matchup here Sunday between the Atlanta Falcons and the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, the game is in Cincinnati. Already bad news for the Falcons. Joe Burrow, who missed a lot of the of training camp because he had surgery, took him a couple of weeks to kind of get his feet under him.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Burrow back. Okay, if last week didn't tell you Joey be back, Joey be back.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Bengals offense is ready to start clicking. And the Falcons defense is not good enough to withstand a healthy and sharp Joe Burrow. Not with those three receivers. The Bengals defense starting to come around as well. This is one of those games I don't see how the Falcons stay in the game in the second half, let alone win this game. I got the Bengals. I take the Bengals. The Bengals are 6.5-point favorites. I lay the points. I got the Bengals on this all day long.
Yeah, you know, we sat here in this exact seat a few weeks ago with Mr. Icky Woods, and we've had a field day with him talking about his Bengals. But I know he's a happy camper right now because the Bengals are getting ready to turn it around and probably run away with this division.
I think so.
It's just theirs to lose, and I like the Bengals in this game big.
Yeah, I do too. But I do like the way Atlanta's playing, and I do like the fact that we finally had a Kyle Pitts showing. You know, it's, what, through week six, finally, we're starting to see where they're gelling a little bit with Mariota. But I'm going to take the Bengals in this game as well. So the next matchup, and it just gets better. We got the Kansas City Chiefs at the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I don't know McCaffrey. I don't know. He's probably not going to play this soon in the game, but this is one hell of a matchup, and it is also a rematch of a Super Bowl that was just a couple of years ago, which Kansas City stole a Super Bowl victory from the hands of San Francisco. Patrick, what do you like about this matchup, this Super Bowl rematch?
Gene, this is one of the marquee matchups of the week, especially now that Christian McCaffrey is a 49er. I don't know how much of the playbook Christian McCaffrey could learn in
24.
A couple of days, but you know what? You better find a way to get him the dang ball.
I think so.
The 49ers are a more complete team than the Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. He's the ultimate equalizer for everything. The Chiefs, though, we saw this last week, the offense can get bogged down.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't have an answer for having lost Tyreek Hill. They've been very inconsistent in the running game. Some weeks they feature Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a receiver. Last week they didn't. Do you know why? I don't. I don't think anybody else does either. You would expect the Chiefs, like, okay, they came off a loss. You know, they played Buffalo. Okay, we'll have a better game against the 49ers. But you got to go on the road. And I think there is a bump in energy in the 49ers making that trade. Everybody in that locker room just went, management is all in on us. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, Jimmy Garoppolo, people were already, after his second game, he didn't play well. Well, Jimmy wasn't really part of the team all offseason. During training camp, they made him go work on a side field. He wasn't allowed to work out with the team. He wasn't allowed to learn the playbook. He didn't even get a playbook.
Okay.
He wasn't allowed to be in the meetings. He wasn't allowed in the quarterback room until they let their guy get hurt. And now it's Trey Lance is hurt. What do we do? Hey, Jimmy. Buddy, friend, pal, what are we doing?
Uh-huh.
Hey, how about you come and play for us again? So Jimmy Garoppolo never had any kind of offseason. He's only starting to play football now. But what he does is he's a leader. The guys in that locker room all believe in him. They know him. They trust him. He's tough as nails. He's played with a bum shoulder. He's played with a bum thumb. He's gotten them the title game. He's gotten them the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They know they can win with Jimmy Garoppolo that they don't know with Trey Lance. 49ers are home dogs in this game.
Yes.
And with everything going on, they just got Christian McCaffrey. That should be a team that is riding real high on emotion. I like the Niners.
Okay.
I think the key to beating the Chiefs is consistency. You got to have a balanced offense. And now with 49ers do have a very balanced offense. You got to be able to run it down Kansas City's throat. And I think they have the capability to do that now. So I think I'm gonna go with the 49ers, and I'm going to go with them. Not big, but I do think they're going to have a lot of ball control. They're going to keep the ball away from Mahomes. And then when you do that, you force Mahomes to have to pass it and becomes sidearm Mahomes and whoever else he is. But I like the 49ers, and I don't want to say big, but mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a lab.
You went big on that other game.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat them handily. I think they're going
to
beat them.
You know what? And I know the 49ers coming off that loss to Atlanta, which, you know, in the NFC, that's probably going to come back to bite them, or it could come back to bite them when you get to the playoffs at the end of the year. But I do like the matchup. Think, you know, the scheduling gods. Who knew, right? You know, to put this Super Bowl rematch together. They got Kansas City. They are just really stuck on that AFC West. So here you got an interconference matchup here. I like the 49ers, too. I mean, that offense is just getting more and more potent. Not to mention the defense. You know, you got Drake Jackson and Nick Bosa. Those guys are getting it done on that defense. But, man, now look, George Kittle, he's playing better football this year. And now Deebo Samuel, Jeff Wilson. I mean, they are just really turning it up. So
and they have the coach as well. I love their coach.
Well, you know, their coach, hey, he's been around. Shanahan has a little history, and I'm sure he's going to want to get even, you know, with this with the Chiefs here, because they owe the Chiefs. The Chiefs stole the Super Bowl from them that should have been the 49ers. But I'm going to go with the 49ers as well, guys. So that's two for two here. We all are in agreement here. So interesting. I'm going to have to play some bets, that, you know, here a little bit later. Okay, so then there was one more matchup that I wanted to talk about that was pretty critical going into. And then not only, you know, the 49ers will, you know, probably just take command of that NFC West, and the Chiefs, you know, this is going to give other teams in that division in the AFC West a chance to, you know, to play catch up. But this matchup here is the one. And I know it is not well, it is marquee because you got the New York Giants now that are getting respect. You know, they are putting some respect on their names. And I was set up here and admit maybe a month, well, maybe 2 months ago. No, even before the season started, I just said the New York teams are just horrible. And no longer. And I've already eaten those words, and I've apologized to everyone in New York. All like one of them that may have downloaded my podcast. Because of what I said about the Jets and the Giants. And look, I was at the draft and I saw the Jets, the drafts that they made, and Sauce Gardner had a chance to interview him. I saw this thing coming with the Jets. The Giants are the one team that I'm more surprised about. But this matchup here, the New York Giants at the Jacksonville Jaguars, is intriguing to me. And what are your thoughts on it, Patrick?
Let's talk about the disrespect being shown to the New York Football Giants. The disrespect being shown to Danny Dimes. The disrespect that the Giants are going to Jacksonville, a team that is 2-4, and they are dogs. A team that went to London and beat Aaron Rodgers is a dog. Mm-hmm. To the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. That they might as well just say, hey, listen, y'all a bunch of punks. You ain't got nothing. Here's what's worked for the Giants. Number one, Saquon Barkley is healthy, and he looks every bit like what everybody thought Saquon Barkley was going to be. Mm-hmm. He has been unstoppable. Danny Dimes, well, maybe he's not zipping the ball down the field and mm-hmm. throwing for big numbers. But he's not turning it over.
Absolutely.
And we can't say the same for one Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. He's not turning it over. The Giants' defense continues to make plays. Now they've got Kayvon Thibodeau back. By the way, do you think David Bakhtiari wishes Kayvon Thibodeau wasn't playing football? Because that end of the Giants-Packers game,
yeah,
Kayvon Thibodeau embarrassed
hello
Bakhtiari. Mm-hmm. Not once, but twice. In a row. Mm-hmm. That final play where you saw Thibodeau just embarrass him.
Yeah.
Well, the play before that, Bakhtiari got flagged for a false start because he knew what was coming.
Exactly.
The Jaguars struggle with protecting Lawrence. They run the football well, but not enough.
Okay.
They don't stop the run particularly well. The Giants, to me, are a better coach team. They've got a better defense. They've got the better running back. And this, to me, is a Giants win. But it has been Giants fashion, which is relatively close wins. Probably a 3-6 point win in Jacksonville. I am taking the Giants, who are getting 3. Oh, I'm taking the Giants.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Giants here. The Giants, to me, are a team that just like the fact that they're flying under the radar. Nobody's giving them that respect.
This is disrespect here, though. Good Lord.
Absolutely disrespect. But, you know, the Jacksonville, I mean, they're playing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a long way from being a solid football team. And as Patrick was saying, Saquon Barkley, he's just balling out.
Comeback player of the year so far.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned.
I've been liking him ever since he learned how to stop fumbling. Once he learned how to carry that ball and stop fumbling,
he's been just a
class character to me, a good running back. The Giants, they're just, to me, I don't think they're a great team, but they are a solid team. And they can play against anybody,
mm-hmm.
because they just come and play Giant football. And that's to keep the game close. And if they pull it out in the end, great. But I'm going with the Giants on this game as well.
Gene, don't be surprised if the Lawrence who has the best game is not Trevor Lawrence, but is Dexter Lawrence.
Hey, I guess it's going to be unanimous again. I don't want to be the lone wolf here, but hey, I'm going to agree with you guys. I have apologized to everyone in New York, and I do have more than one person in New York that downloads the show. We got a whole lot of folks in New York, believe it or not. So I'm going to continue to spread the good cheer with New York. And I saw the combination of Brian Daboll with the Giants. Man, every once in a while, you know, the upper management for a team would get it right. I thought that was the case with the Detroit Lions when they hired what's his name, the head coach of the Lions. I thought, because he's a coach's coach.
Dan Campbell.
I like Dan Campbell.
Your bite knees.
I really thought. I mean, that guy is just one hell of a coach. Win or lose, I just like Dan Campbell. And you already see the turnaround and the buy-in. But I didn't expect to see the quick buy-in with Brian Daboll and what's going on. Because man, this is just great. This guy. The Giants got it right. You're seeing Daniel Jones. You know, a couple of years ago, people were talking about Daniel Jones. Man, the Giants were probably looking at getting another quarterback. But, man, everything is coming together with them. Thibodeau, I saw him when he got drafted there. I thought that was one hell of a really, really good pick. But in looking at the Jaguars, now I will say in defense, this is a different Jaguars team under Doug Peterson. It's what they needed after going through the Urban Meyer situation. So I think Jacksonville is moving in the right direction. I don't know. Maybe the people respect them a little bit too much, especially making them a favorite over a 5-1 Giants team. I got the Giants winning this game.
All right, so that's three games you all agreed on.
Yeah.
We got to try to find a game that we're not going to agree on. So you know what we're going to do? I'm going to flip the tables here on Gene.
Okay, okay.
Okay, and we're going to add a fourth game.
Okay.
He has no idea this is coming.
Okay.
Steelers in Miami. Taking on the Finns. Miami is a 7-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Tua Tagovailoa back for the fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the story is with Kenny Pickett because he was also in the protocol.
Yeah, he cleared and they said he will be starting.
So give us your breakdown, your beloved Steelers, Miami Dolphins. Let's see if we can find a game here that we're all going to, that maybe we don't all agree on. Let's start with you, Gene.
Hey, look, okay, yeah, they are my beloved Steelers, and I understand what's going on. The rookie quarterback got knocked out, and they had to put Mitchell Trubisky in there. I believe this game is in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and look, I was the one guy that had Tua sitting on the bench when he threw for the ridiculous touchdowns and everything, some 57 points in my fantasy football league on the bench because I failed to put him in the starting lineup. I love the Steelers, but I'm not stupid, okay? I know exactly what's going on. I know Miami is still competitive. Miami's doing a real good job, and that new head coach, too. Let's get some respect what's his name? McDaniels? Let me find this
Mike
guy.
McDaniel.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's Mike McDaniel. There we go. I didn't want to say Josh, okay? We ain't talking about Josh. But no, Mike McDaniel.
He's not a good coach.
Yeah. We already addressed that. But no, I like the Dolphins, 3-3. I think the Dolphins are probably going to win this game. And I know Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, but Mike Tomlin has never had a rookie quarterback. And you got to see it coming. And I don't think the Steelers are rebuilding. I think the defense is, it's still the defense. But, look, when you lose someone like a T.J. Watt, you pretty much lose your defense, and that's why the Steelers can't stop anybody. And, of course, the offense is real predictable. For some reason, they will not go with George Pickens, who I kind of think Pickett and Pickens sound pretty good, don't it? Pickett and Pickens. You know, that sounds like a country bar in Arkansas. But anyway, no, I got the Dolphins winning this game. I would like to see the Steelers win, but I don't see it coming.
Do the Dolphins cover the 7?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. No, I would take the Steelers in the 7. I would. Because
all right, so Gene's going to take the Steelers with the 7. Mm-hmm. Wayne, where were you on this game?
Well, I'm going to go with the Miami on this only because of Tyreek Hill. He's the only reason. He's just going to flat out beat, just destroy that Steelers defense. This is one year where we said Mike Tomlin was going to have to coach his best coaching job. And although he's putting forth an effort, the Steelers are just not there.
They're still in first place with a 2-4 record.
The Steelers are still just not there. No, I see Miami winning this game, covering the 7, and not only covering the 7, I like them by 17.
Oh, he says 17 on your Steelers.
Can we turn this mic off, Christina? He's on number 1, number 2.
So I'm glad that we found a game where we got a little difference of opinion. But I tell you what, on this game, Gene, I hate to tell you this, but I'm riding with you. I got the Steelers plus 7. This is why.
Yeah.
If Tua Tagovailoa, who last we saw was being carted off the field after looking like he was having a seizure, after having another concussion.
Oh, my goodness.
He missed. It feel like to have two concussions that quickly, and I don't care if they said, oh, it was a neck or a back
injury.
He had a concussion. They played him 4 days later. He had a major concussion. Mm-hmm. I am concerned if Tua Tagovailoa gets another hit.
Mm.
Is he – once you have – and as someone who knows very well from personal experience, after – when you start getting multiple concussions, you become more susceptible to them with each passing one.
Okay.
So after you've had two very quickly, the third one, you don't need to get hit as hard. And the after effects – are longer. As someone who can tell you with a jacket list of concussions that if I bend over for more than 30 seconds, I'm going to fall over.
Yeah.
Okay. I am very concerned about the health of Tua Tagovailoa. If he takes a hit, it might be it. It might be it for him for the season. Okay. It might be it for him for his career. We don't know. All I know is that for the way we saw him leave the field last time, that he's already getting back out on the field. Whatever these protocols are of what it takes to pass a protocol, if it's, you know, what color is grass?
Okay.
Is the sun hot? Like, what do you have to actually do to pass these protocols?
Mm-hmm.
I have concerns about his health. If Tua gets hurt, or Tua's just not sharp, or Tua's off because of everything that's going on with him, I don't think the Dolphins can cover. The Steelers are not necessarily as good as they've been, but they are a prideful team with a prideful coach. They will fight.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Think they will cover the number.
Yeah, I agree with that, which brings me to a point that Gene and I had a conversation about off the air, and I want to get your opinion on this. He got hurt after coming off of a Sunday to a Thursday game, Thursday to a Sunday, however it was. How do you feel about those Thursday games in a short week? With the fact that you don't get a chance to recuperate your body and things like that. So tell me, what do you think about Thursday night football for Monday for the NFL?
I think the NFL loves the money and it's never going away.
Yeah.
But that being said, they did change the way they did the Thursday night game. So if you were on a Thursday night game, the following week, either you were getting a bye or you might be a late game on Sunday or a late game on Monday.
You get 10 games. 10 days, I mean.
The fact that he looked to have a concussion on Sunday, was back out there on
Thursday,
and then got ragdolled and had a major concussion.
Yeah.
That's really what my issue is.
Yeah.
Right.
Is they put the game ahead of the health of
they
the
did.
Player.
They did. Right. And I agree with that. And, it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, you know, I like the Steelers to cover. I don't think the Steelers are going to win. But I would be concerned about Tua's participation in that game because the defense of the Steelers are one that you really have to account for. Gentlemen, you know we get to do this again on Saturday where we will do the entire Week 7 predictions, and we will grade our papers, and Patrick, we will send it home to you, your report card, and see how we do for tomorrow's week 7 of the NFL. But hey, this has been fun. This has been great, guys. And I know Patrick is already excited to get out there and have some fun. Christina has invited us somewhere tonight. Patrick doesn't care. He just wants to get out there.
It don't matter. Christina's my new best friend, and whatever she says, the answer is yes.
So, hey, Wayne, as always, because I know we got to get out of here because there's another podcast coming up, right? Are we? Okay, so we got to break down here. But, hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the Sports King Show here. And we'll be back tomorrow with Patrick Creighton. We got him for the whole weekend in downtown Wayne Brown. So we'll see you right back here on the Sports King Show, brought to you by iHeart Radio and Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. We'll see you tomorrow.